de patentar el genoma. Llegan primero al punto de adulterar genéticamente la semilla. Un proceso milenario de la semilla autorregulándose en el planeta Tierra ahora es intervenido, y algunos que se creen sabios o se creen Dios, pero que en realidad están conectados con el mercado, adulteran genéticamente nuestra semilla. Entonces un poco el encuentro permite debatir en relación a esto, porque estamos decididos a intervenir en un debate público, estamos decididos a intervenir en las políticas públicas, porque el punto 5 del Plan Nacional 2013-2019 justamente plantea la necesidad de que el pueblo se exprese en relación a la conservación de la vida sobre el planeta Tierra.
Hemos llegado al final de otra edición del Informativo Pacífica. A nombre del director del proyecto, Fernando Velázquez, se despide Norma Martínez.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
Get up in the morning, if you like to see the sun come up, if you like to have your coffee in the dark, then Free Radio needs you. We need someone to come in, download some shows, put them on the air. To download the shows in the morning, you need to be here at the studio by about 7 o'clock. Send us an email to frsc@freakradio.org and put morning person in the subject line. That way, Democracy Now! Can go on the air at 8 o'clock. All our other programs start at 7:30. And, of course, our morning programs on Monday, Thursday, and Friday would also be heard. Get in touch with us as soon as you can. Let us know what day or days you can be a Free Radio morning person. And once again, that email address, frsc@freakradio.org.
Yo, what up, my peoples? You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101, www.freakradio.org. Fuck the FCC, fuck the corporate media, not telling us the truth. We're keeping it real right here, pirate radio style. Peace out.
I'm marching to the border. I don't give a damn about your new world order. I ain't gonna fight your dirty little war no more. When I was younger, so much dumber, I bid farewell to my hometown, my mother and my father, and marched off to fight your dirty little war over there. We killed their fathers, we killed their brothers, we made whores of their widows, sisters and daughters. My soul was breached by a dirty little war over there. That's why I'm marching to the border. Why I don't give a damn about your new world order. I ain't gonna fight your dirty little war no more. as I'm marching to the border, like the Pied Piper leading your sons and daughters, so you can't make them fight your dirty little war over there. We're marching to the border. We don't give a damn about your new world order. We ain't gonna fight your dirty little war. No, we ain't gonna fight your dirty little war. No, we ain't gonna fight your dirty little war no more.
Welcome to Bathrob Spears Broadsides. I'm Robert Norris, and this is, it's Thursday, October 25th. And that's from an earlier show, but I'm here anyway, and let's just take it from there. A lot of interviews coming up today on Free Radio. I should say, of course, you are listening to 101.3 FM. Freak Radio, and our website is freakradio.org, and you can find us by, well, the way I always do it is go to the Huff website, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, huffsantacruz.org, and then click on Free Radio Santa Cruz, and the name of the show, which is my show, which is Bathrob Spears Broadsides, and you'll get here, you'll be able to actually get to the website. So welcome if you've made it, and if you aren't listening, you should be. So what's coming up in this show are going to be, hopefully, can't guarantee it, but of course there's a reoccupation up in Oakland, and it's the anniversary of the police actions up there and the massive occupation up there of a year ago. Some activists from Santa Cruz have gone up there. I mean, we may be able to hear from them and get some on-the-spot accounts of what's going on. I heard a sort of a vanilla brief mention on KGO driving to the studio, and it doesn't seem to be, all seems to be uneventful. Nobody's getting beaten or threatened with arrest, according to KGO, but that's, of course, KGO. So, if you'd like to call into the show, the call-in number is 427-3772, area code 831-427-3772. I'm happy to get calls. You can also email me at rnorse3@hotmail.com, and we'll take a peek at those emails and see what you've got to say. Pass it on to the community if you'd like. You can also leave me a message off-air at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I'll get back to you later. I'm going to be talking a lot about the upcoming civil trial that I have been pursuing for 10.5 years, and is finally coming about next week in federal court in San Jose. Talked about it periodically throughout the last decade, and more recently with more frequency because it's becoming a reality. I have to spending a lot of time this weekend. The attorneys are interviewing the witnesses, checking over our evidence, getting ready to go into court before a jury, a civil jury, to show damages, to show false arrest, and essentially to hold Santa Cruz City Council accountable for the kind of abusive practices it's engaged in, I think, with considerable regularity. Depressing regularity, at least with respect to me, and certainly also with respect to others that I've noted over the last two decades. But they really screwed up when they did this arrest for a silent, brief mock Nazi salute, and decided then to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to avoid trial and trying to avoid a settlement. So we're going to be talking about that. And there's a good place to go if you're not familiar with this situation and you'd like to understand what I'm talking about. It's kind of hard to follow if you haven't actually seen the video. If you go online, if you happen to have a computer, to Norse, N-O-R-S-E, that's me, Robert Norse, and then put the words Nazi or mock Nazi salute, you'll find a video that activist Becky Johnson made of the whole incident. And you'll see just exactly how stupid this whole thing is. And yet, in a way, as I heard from one of the witnesses, how chilling it is. The idea that one can be arrested at city council for a simple, silent, brief gesture makes one's the prospects of the discourse that you might have with the city council is chilled immediately, because you have to worry about that possibility. And you have to somehow feel you're talking to your father, or you're talking to the king, or you're talking to some higher authority. But you're not. You're talking to people who are actually paid to represent you and before whom you have rights to speak, something that is really kind of not really clear, I think, to most people. They somehow feel it's a great privilege to be able to speak to the city council. It's actually a burden, and usually a waste of time, but it certainly is a right that you should have, and that's going to be the issue next week, Tuesday. A trial will be starting Tuesday. I had thought it was starting Monday. Now I'm told it's starting Tuesday. I'll have a final update for you on that on Sunday when I come back and do a longer show, which starts at 9:30 in the morning. So I would invite you to go to Norse Mock Nazi Salute. Look at the video, and you'll see just what at least one of the incidents that is involved here. And you can also hear a lengthy discussion of this if you want to, including some potential criticism that just sort of melted away, very little criticism actually, from right-wing radio station folks that called in at KSCO. I was on KSCO, the large AM radio station owned by Michael Zwirling, last Saturday. And it was a very surprising experience to see so much fundamentally support for my position, which was just, I don't see why there wouldn't be. I mean, it seemed to me that the minute they did it, I knew they were wrong. They knew it too, I have to assume, although none of the principals has admitted it. I think one council member who wasn't there told me he thought it was the stupidest thing he'd ever heard of. But then this is the same council member who tried to have me arrested on another occasion for something else. So, you know, I guess, you know, if you're in the Führer's chair, if you're in the high Panjandrum's chair, then what you do is fine. But if somebody else does it, it's not. It's kind of a strange situation. Anyway, I'll be talking about that, but I'm going to begin with a little music, and I'll encourage you to stay with me. And again, 427-3772 is the call-in number here if you'd like to call in and talk or comment or whatever you'd like to do. So think about that.
Leaders are trying to beseech Bush. All of my friends are trying to defeat Bush. I even seen some signs that tell me to impeach Bush. That ain't gonna cut it for me. I won't be happy till I see him do the perp walk. Handcuffs and leg irons swinging to the perp walk. Bright orange jumpsuit styling for the perp walk. On his way to cell block D. He raided my national treasury. Invaded a nation's sovereignty. That's why I won't be happy till I see him do the perp walk. Exiting the White House, shuffling to the perp walk. Live on TV, smirking to the perp walk. That's democracy for me. Lest we neglect the Bush administration, that gang hell-bent for world domination, live at the Hague for their humiliation, that is what I'd like to see. Cause I won't be happy till I see him do the perp walk, roving rummy, marching to the perp walk, Colin and Johnny dancing to the perp walk, getting fingerprinted on TV. They acted preeminently, searching for those WMDs. And now I won't be happy till I you'll see him do the perp walk. Condoleezza Rice practicing the perp walk. Bunker Bus Cheney and make him do the perp walk. That's democracy for me. Stop there with this administration. Set a precedent for future generations. To not be messing with the people's reputation. That's the way it ought to be. If you mess with us, you get to do the perp walk. Don't matter if you're rich, you get to do the perp walk. Especially Richard Nixon should have had to do the perp walk. It's what we call equality. And that's the hallmark of grassroots liberty. And U.S. constitutionality. So you Supreme Court judges ain't immune to do the perp walk. Senators and congressmen take turns to do the perp walk. This old damn government may learn to do the perp walk. That's democracy for me. That's democracy for me. That's democracy for me.
And that's Jim Hendy from his Shout Down the Wind album, which I've been making a lot of use of lately. And it's, of course, doing the perp walk. Of course, it's all about the Bush administration, but it should be about the Obama administration, which refused to indict or prosecute the prior administration for its criminal behavior. Most likely because the Obama administration wants to continue that behavior. And that, of course, is the problem that's going to confront us the Tuesday after next when we have to, when there's the plebiscite, the meaningless vote for either Tweedle-War or Tweedle-Dum-War. I mean, it's the same kind of problem. I'm going to be probably playing some tape from, well, it's going to be, I'm not sure if I'm going to play the longer version or the shorter version of an interview with Daniel Ellsberg, who wants everybody who's in the swing state to vote for Obama. And I'm skeptical and sarcastic about that, but I'm open to arguments, always open to arguments, because I want the issue to be fully discussed. I think in the privacy of the voting booth, people can decide what they want. What I've said all along is you should not be urging people. You should not be publicly supporting a war criminal because he is putting up a worse war criminal as the only alternative. And I say he because Obama is colluding in a system that essentially is excluding third-party candidates. And there is a good argument to be made that just simply not voting or voting for third-party candidates is a way of expressing a clear statement that you are not with this administration, which actually is, the Democrats or the Republicans, who are pretty much, in my view, on fundamental issues around banking, around war and peace, and around civil liberties, doing the same thing. And it's pretty horrible what's going on. It's something that would have been unthinkable a decade ago, or maybe a decade and 5 years ago. Anyway, I'm going to try to get into that a little. If not today, then perhaps on Sunday. Again, call-in number is 427-3772. But what I really try to do here mostly on the show, as you regular listeners know, is put some interviews out there that you wouldn't normally be hearing. I mean, you'll get a lot of blather about the homeless from service providers and some from even from our august mayor, Don Lane, who I call Don Lame. But when it comes to what's really going on, there's no real discussion of the destruction of homeless property, the driving of homeless people into the night, the seizure of medicine, ID, the essentially criminalization of homeless people at night. And during the day, too, for simply even lingering in public spaces. I was driving down Pacific Avenue yesterday, and two squad cars are parked harassing one guy sitting near a building and giving him a ticket for sitting within 14 feet of a building. The building he was sitting in front of appeared to be on an alley, and it wasn't. There was no door. There was no business. It was simply a building, you see. And he had the effrontery to sit there. That's a violation of Santa Cruz's 1994, expanded 2002, expanded again 2009 sitting ban, which no member of the city council and no member of the incoming set of candidates who are going to be elected, the possible exception of Plaich and Posner, have opposed, and certainly not actively opposed as a real strong issue that they are running on as something that they're committed to pressing forward on. Not at all. So the rights of poor people to simply be treated fairly is not an issue for anybody in this campaign, at least at a primary level. And they'll tell you that that's their political wisdom because they don't want to offend the people who don't have the Nazi uniforms on and who certainly, you know, would claim that certainly not, they're not in that category at all. But in fact, regarding poor people and homeless people outside, that's exactly the category they're on, the police state category, whatever police state you want to choose from history, you know, whether the most infamous or simply one of our modern day Middle Eastern police states. So, interviews with people who are victims of this kind of stuff, I think, is important. It may seem repetitive, and it is repetitive, but in fact, it's real, and that's why I like to bring it out and bring it up. So let's do a little of that. And I've got here, I'm going to begin with some interviews from... Well, I often go to the Red Church, the Calvary Episcopal Church across from the Farmer's Market. It's at Lincoln and Cedar Streets, right across from the Nickelodeon and Jack's Hamburgers. Once a week, they have a meal there, which former mayor and current city council candidate Cynthia Matthews tried to stop by petitioning the parishioners of the Calvary Episcopal and trying to have the father, the pastor Joel Miller, who's no Jesus Christ, I can tell you that. He's a nice guy in some respects. He's very conservative and timid in other respects. I mean, you know, I've talked about my problems with his cutting back on liberal programs that a previous groundskeeper, Rene Curry, tried to set in motion several years ago under pressure from people like Cynthia Matthews, who owns a, I'm told, historic house across the street, the one that is right next to the, between the Nickelodeon and Jack's Hamburgers. And she hasn't said that's why she used city council stationery without the approval of the city council, with no resolutions passed, with no discussion made, but to attempt to criminalize Miller, Father Miller, and suggest that his once-a-week charity meal, which he has on Monday, should be the basis for having him defrocked and removed as the father of that particular congregation. And he fought it successfully in court at a cost of tens of thousands of dollars, ecclesiastical court apparently, which I'm not really familiar with at all. And he's been doing this meal ever since, and does other programs too. He and other churches have attempted to restart the Interfaith Satellite Shelter program, which makes me dizzy and kind of slightly ill to even talk about it, because we 24 years ago, we got that program going. Some of us who were protesting and petitioning city council, and eventually it grew to, it's a program where different churches take people on the floor every of different nights. And it got going to some extent, but it never reached more than 60 to 80 people. Now it's at, again, it's at 12 to 15 people, and you're talking about a homeless population of 1,000 to 2,000 people in Santa Cruz, the city, not the county. And that reality of night after night, misery after misery, bust after bust, because not only is it miserable to be outside, but it's also illegal to sleep after 11 o'clock at night to put up a tent against the rain. And now we have these drip-drop programs which don't address the real issue, the broader issue. They will help a dozen people. They won't help anybody tonight. They might help somebody tonight. They're only open for four nights a week now. The Armory is due to open up, which will open up space for 100 people. And I'm told there's going to be staggered rides up to the Armory, so you don't have to be there at 4. You can be there at 4 or 4:30 or 5 or 5:30. Of course, you'll probably have to get up at 5:30 in the morning to get out of there and, you know, kind of hover around the homeless lack of services center for a cup of coffee and a meal, and then you will not be allowed to be in the homeless lack of services center. Just those who are paid to be there to be helping the homeless clients who aren't allowed to be there unless they are there for some special reason with the permission of the staff. It's really an example of how privilege infects, erodes, and captures all these programs if they aren't run by the people that they're supposed to benefit, because other people have different priorities. Middle-class people have other things to do. They originally closed the center during the day, they said, because it was too much trouble for the staff to have to keep an eye on homeless people during the day. Can you imagine? That was 5 or 6 years ago. Then it was reopened by Doug Loisel when he was the director, and then he was thrown out. And you have the current administration of Monica Mau Mau Martinez, who's... Mau Mau is not an appropriate thing to call her. It suggests some kind of militancy, like the Kenyan Mau Mau who struggled for independence in Africa. Rather, it's better to think of her as some sort of a fluff and puff person who's trying to put the best face on everything and doesn't mind telling tall tales about what's going on at the Homeless Lack of Services Center. In any case, let's hear from the people rather than from me, because I go on and on. 427-3772, if you want to go on and on, give me a call.
But it's been noted by the media that these same things that have happened here with the sweep were basically happening throughout the state. And it behooves the local ACLU. They want to be out on the cutting edge. Here's their chance to do it. But I think the real resource they're lacking is a backbone.
Oh, how can you say that?
You know, a spine.
Now, Lee, I understand you went to the last ACLU meeting and it got intent interest from Bob Terran, that lawyer of lawyers, and Steve Plaich, legal worker for the Homeless Legal Assistance Project. But before we hear more about the... I think I played this, I believe, part of this interview before with... a man outside who also does a very great blog, Andy Imperial's blog. We have a caller. Hi, caller.
Hey, Robert.
I wonder if we can still hear you. So it's Andrea, right?
Yeah, Andrea, whatever. Andrea, Andy, all right. Above.
All right, Auntie Andrea. What you got for us today? I know you've been having your struggles with the Homeless Lack of Services Center, and you actually... You heard the show that I mentioned earlier on KSCO, and you called in. You were in some distress that day, as I remember.
I still am.
Go ahead.
I still am. Well, I called and I made appointments. I met with the mayor today, and I explained my situation. And I'm really upset because, now, that's part of the reason why I wanted to call you, because I know you're smart. You know a lot about, policies and all that stuff, Robert, so I wanted to call and ask you. Now, okay, to make a long story short, he called this motel, said, they do the monthly rate is $900 a month, which is better than $313 a week because that comes to $1,242. But he said that would have to pay too much rent up front to get that rate. And the whole reason why I went to him was I think you heard my little speech to them at oral communication on the 9th, and about, you know, it really pisses me off about all the wasteful spending, but the city can't help, you know, I think I'm an exception to the rule. I know I am, and they can't help a handicapped woman. I was even willing to pay half the rent. I told the mayor, I said, look, if it's $900 a month, I'm willing to pay, like, okay, $400 of it. Why the city can't pay the other $500 for what? For 4 months to get through the winter, because I have those disabilities that are severe enough that I need a warm place to myself where I can get downtime, you know, all that. But anyway, I just was thinking that if he's the mayor, shouldn't he have the power to, like, tell the motel people, look, you understand this was disabled, you know, her situation's really, you know, kind of critical, and, you need to bend your policy. And, I mean, I'm a local there. They know me. I stay at that motel continuously. You know, I've paid a lot of money there. And, you know, for him to not be able to maybe pull some strings and say, hey, you know, even if I had to pay it all right now, okay, give them $900, they can't give me the rate, you know? So I'm really upset.
Well, let me ask you this. How long did it take for you to get... I know you waited a month to be able to talk to the mayor. He canceled oral communications in September so he could talk to the students and go to a Jewish holiday or accommodate a Jewish holiday. And then,
right,
and,
right.
And then you were able to talk to him at the beginning of October. What happened? How long did it take him to get back to you, or what efforts did you have to make to get to him?
Not too much. I can't remember when I called. I think it was in the week, and I left a message on his voicemail, I think, at City Hall, and he did call me back 10 minutes later. We talked about kind of what I told you, and then finally, yesterday, I think I called City Hall and said, hi, my name's so-and-so. I want to know if I could make an appointment with the mayor. And she said, oh, he has to call his number, and he'll do it. He makes the appointments. I said, okay, I called the mayor's number. He did call me back. He said, could you come in tomorrow around 3:30, which is today? And I said, sure. So I just went in, and, I mean, I don't know these politicians very well. He seems to be a cordial man, but I'm hurt because it's like I feel like, put it this way, I'm going to send him a text message, and I'm going to tell him, Mr. Lane, look, bottom line, all I have to say any further is, if you're a real human being and you dig real deep in your heart, you will do the right thing. You will find the funds to help me and, you know, do what's right. And that's all I'm going to say about it, because he did say something about he's still going to call around, and he said something about calling the Community Action Board, but, you know, it's like, why bother to call if he's not going to be able to have the power to get them to just say, okay, boom, we need to help this woman out. I'm willing to pay almost half the rent, whatever, and just get me in there and get me out of the situation that I'm in. I mean, I just believe that the city doesn't have the money. I mean, what, four months of really cold and wet weather, maybe 5 months tops, you know, before spring again. I mean, chances are I'll probably get into permanent housing before then. I have a social worker who's working with this lady in HPHP, and he knows that. My social worker showed up there today. I had her go in with me. She sat down, and the three of us talked, and then she only was able to stay for about 10 minutes, and she left, and then it was the mayor and I, and I don't know.
So how long did you talk to Lane for?
Oh, shit, probably, let's see, got in there at 6:30 and got out right about 4, and she was there for about 10 minutes, so probably she was there three of us were there for about 10 minutes, and then she left, and then I think him and I were there for about almost another 20 minutes.
So, and he offered you, what, he said he could get you into this motel if you paid the entire rent 2 months up front?
Well, yeah, he's saying that they have this policy to get that monthly rate of $900. It's something about I'd have to pay 2 months up front. If he's the mayor, why can't he tell them, look, you don't understand. I know your policy, but I don't know if the mayor has that kind of power to, like, you know,
I don't know if he has the power. I don't know if he has the power to do it, you know, just by snapping his fingers. Although, yeah, you know, yeah, as a mayor and as the head of the city council, you know, and I don't know what committees he's on either. I think, you know, I don't know. My answer is I really don't know what his specific powers over are, over emergency funds and so forth. I mean, you know, it's not clear, but it seems to me, you know, did he offer you re-entrance into the Homeless Lack of Services Center programs?
It was mentioned, but I was like, I mean, I was in tears. I think my social worker mentioned it at that time. I was in tears, and I said, oh, no. I said, Mr. Lane, I know you haven't read all my security incident reports, but after everything that I went through there, I said, those people didn't, you know, just, you know, hurt me, make me mad, kick me out. They traumatized me. I used the word traumatized because it's true. I said, I can't go back there. And besides that, I had to go through all this about, you know, that the shelter isn't set up to accommodate the handicapped. I can't be in a place where I've got to get woken up at 6, 7 in the morning, booted out by 8, stuck out on the street with nowhere to go and my walker because my health conditions are too severe. It's like, hello. Hello, the freezing cold, the elements. I mean, I've got some serious nerve damage in my arm right now, and my arm's been killing me for days, my right arm. I've got this bad, burning, numb pain in my arm. It's just,
I hear you.
I told him, I said, I need to be in a place where I can go in, take off my clothes casually, get in the shower, get out, not have to get dressed, and just lay down and rest and be horizontal in a bed because my friends have been putting me up in this truck, as you know, and I am grateful, don't get me wrong. But
I got you. You know, it's an interesting question, Andrea, because, and forgive me for getting abstract about this, but I'm imagining that there are a lot of rooms available, although I don't know, because the tourist trade in the winter is much less than in the summer, although we got this bullshit stadium stuff coming in here, which is going to, you know, be a big boon for all the, you know, for filling up things and driving more homeless people away, no doubt, and filling up all the, you know, rooms so they can raise the prices and so forth.
I know, you heard me mention that maybe in my speech at Oral Communications about, you know, blah, 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 when I mentioned about the city not having the funds and when I mentioned about, like, wasteful spending and that they can put the money out to, yeah, build a stadium for a professional basketball team, put another $80,000 out for security to harass the homeless, but can't help a disabled woman. Oh, my God, Robert, if they paid $500 of the rent for what, 4 months? Oh, my God, $2,000? Whoa.
You know, I have to imagine there's some kind of emergency funding that he has available. You still there? Yeah. So I don't know, though. You know, I mean, you asked me a question, and I can't really tell you. I don't think he is powerless. I think he's making choices. He may be afraid that other disabled people may come to him and, God help them, actually try to get, you know, real services from the city that, you know, I mean, the city is kicking money, and the Homeless Lack of Services Center is gathering money on the basis of some claims as to what it's doing. And, you know, I've been, and so have you, a critic of the Homeless Lack of Services Center because of its failure to have clear rules. Obviously, they can't provide accommodations like a private room for every disabled person, I don't think. Maybe they can't. I mean, I don't know. Actually, I think they probably can if the money were properly appropriated instead of spending it on police giving people tickets downtown and harassing people in the Poganib trying to drive people away. They could perhaps do that. But they, you know.
Yeah,
of course. I mean, I think.
I would offer you the paid part of the rent. It's not like I'm asking them to just put me up and pay the whole thing. At least I'm willing, you know, to pay almost half or whatever, you know? I mean,
right, but the answer to your question is, as I said, I don't know. And I guess a question I have for you is, have you had any for other accounts from other people who are disabled or homeless that you want to mention in the last week or two that have come to your attention that the community should know about?
The Aquagreen Motel used to have people living there on Section 8 vouchers. You could be residents. I mean, you know, they could do something. You know, that's what I need in order to save my life, Robert. It's really the truth, man. My health is suffering real bad. I'm a total nervous wreck. I'm losing it. You know, how much longer I can do this?
I hear you, babe. Well, you know, I'm not offering anything other than a platform and a forum for you right now, but because that's pretty much what I'm doing here. But you know, if anybody has any suggestions, maybe they'll call in. You're listening on the radio right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we'll see what the situation is. I would say, again, I think there's unity. The strength in greater numbers and the strength in unity. And, you know, pressing one's own case is very important. Pressing it in...
I know what you're talking about.
But pressing
about.
It with other people is even more important. I mean, and that...
Yeah.
You know, that's why that's why I ask you about other people, because you need to, you know... I don't know if you need to. You probably need to take care of yourself. But, you know, if you can, you know, get other people together. And one way to do that is through... I guess you had an advocate who was helping you, John Colby, right?
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is it's getting cold outside.
And where will you be sleeping tonight?
Truck.
Not your truck, but somebody else's truck.
Yeah. My friend that came with me to the Huff meeting that last time.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Chris.
I don't... Oh, yeah, maybe... Well, listen, I'm gonna roll and play some more tape. And if you got more thoughts about anything you hear, or if you hear anything that you think is relevant, feel free to call back.
All right, hon.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And you are tuned to Free Radio 101.3 FM. Looks like somebody's calling right now. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, because I can't hear you very well.
How's this?
Is this Chris?
Is this better?
Yes. This is Robert.
It is. Hi, Chris.
This is Judy Moore, and
Hi, Judy. I didn't get
to hear about what that woman said because I'm having trouble getting you in on my radio, but I'm calling to read the poem I wrote that has been sent to various places for publication about Romney. You know, why not to vote for him?
Okay.
Would you like to hear it?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. It's called Romney's Allegiance is to His Pocketbook. Romney's allegiance is to his pocketbook, making his money by hook or by crook. A true patriot to this country, he fails the test. He's a self-serving Republican, businessman at best. The corporate games Romney knows how to play, outsourcing jobs, accounts for federal taxes he doesn't pay. Into Swiss banks and the Cayman Islands, Romney's money goes. He's an American outsider. This is the path he chose. Republican filibusters have resulted in lots of jobs. Romney's main benefits are to the corporate elitists with whom he hobnobs. Like a race to a goalpost, Romney's money accumulates. He's a self-serving Republican running for president of the United States. Up the taxes on our middle class, cut billions aimed for the injured vets. The more you study Romney's plan, the worse it gets. Romney's plan makes further cuts to the disabled and the poor. Obama will win if the American voters keep score. Romney's agenda does not include our planet's health and its healing. Yet bravo to the corporate polluters, their greed and their wheeling and dealing. He's a high-profile individual who will not address our pressing concerns. as Americans, we are entitled to see more of his tax return. Corporations are people, Mitt Romney has said. Vote for Romney if you want to be misled. Corporations have had their fair share of corporate freeloaders. How appealing can that be to the American voters? Does Romney sound like a patriotic American with our best interests at heart? Don't vote, vote for Obama. Play it smart. That's it.
Okay, I don't know if I agree with the last line, but I got the poem here.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, I wanted to have a go at it.
Sure. No, that's fine, Judy.
Okay.
Have you got it posted online anywhere if anybody wants to read it? I mean, I'm sure the Democratic Central Committee would love to read your poem. I mean, you know, they, at least for the next week and a half, you'll be, they'll pat you on the back and say, what a great poem, and then they'll ignore you for the next four
yeah,
years.
Yeah, well, that's what they intend to do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the story. That's the problem, of course. Yeah, you know,
so I know there's some people that don't want to vote at all, and I was grappling with that you know, idea. Oh, I can't vote.
I mean, but I think people should vote. I think people should vote.
I voted already.
Yeah. I mean, I think people should definitely vote. But I think mostly the propositions are what people should pay attention to, because it's whether you vote for Mr. Liar or Mr. War Criminal, I don't know. You know, it's kind of.
you got a point, but Prop 37 is the biggie to me, so.
Yeah, there are a bunch of them, and I'm going to hopefully discuss them on Sunday or possibly the week after that, although I think, let's see, today is. Yeah, we've got to, you know, at least.
Well, I mean, you know,
days.
I have my issues with Obama, too. I mean,
well,
I could write a poem.
Yeah, I think you should. I'd like to see
just
a poem.
Like the one about Romney. There are things about Obama, NDAA, Monsanto, the director that he appointed to the federal FDA, you know, who's a lobbyist and attorney for Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when he told us that he would have labeling for us, you know, of course, we need banning the crossing a camel with a strawberry. It's not like crossing a tomato with another tomato, and herbicides built right into the you know, the crop. It's there's definitely, you know, I can write a poem about Obama too, but I still say Romney is far worse.
Well, that's what the traditional argument that brings everybody around to the Democrats seems to be all the time. Everybody but me and some other people. So
okay, well, you're entitled.
Sure. Thank you, Judy.
Okay, you're so welcome. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 427-3772 is the number to call in if you'd like. I want to spend a lot of time on discussions of the election yet. You know, I mean, I always wonder about this, particularly if, as it seems this time, and I don't know, I haven't got a lot of documentation on how swingy California is. But, you know, there's all this, the election's very close kind of talk going on. So it's going to be, you know, at this time, people may be able to make a difference. And who knows, we could enrage the Democrats even further. You know, the arguments that I know right now about not voting for Obama, in spite of the lesser evil argument, there's a good argument made about him actually being the greater evil. But he's a greater evil not because he proposes worse programs necessarily, but because, there's a whole show done about that. Chris Hedges has an interesting, lengthy discussion. In fact, maybe I will play something about that today. I don't know, but certainly I'll play something. I'm hoping before the election. I mean, my concern has always been. You'll get people are just they tend to believe that you have to vote for, you know, A or B if A or B are the pre-chosen candidates, you know, because otherwise you're wasting your vote because somehow it's a significant difference. And there are a number of people who I otherwise respect who do believe there are significant differences. People like Ellsberg and Chomsky will tell you that, you know, they detest much of what Obama's done. They regard him as a war criminal, but you should vote for him anyway. And I'm going to be taking that one up when I can really fully digest and excrete those arguments and figure out if it changes my mind. Right now, it doesn't. But who knows? It has to be thought about. Again, back to the Calvary Episcopal Church, where people are given getting together to have a bite to eat, and I go out and talk to them, and they talk back to me, and here's somebody talking to me, which you can get to hear.
And formed a committee to draw up?
I did not know they had formed a committee. I've heard nothing from Bob Plaich and...
Bob Tarrant,
I'm sorry.
Steve Plaich will be showing up.
They're talking about the American Civil Liberties Union, the local chapter's supposed interest in stopping the sweeps and the destruction of homeless property, which they did nothing about. They had their large meeting recently. Steve Plaich reported on it at the last Huff meeting yesterday. He's done nothing in terms of bringing up any issues any further. This issue has been, you know, actively abusive against homeless people. More than 600 citations, hundreds of camps destroyed, hundreds of pieces of property either confiscated or trashed. And this is clearly a massive violation of civil liberties in a city that has no legal place for the overwhelming majority of people to go, and yet claims that they cannot legally sleep anywhere at all, period. There's nowhere at all that they can sleep. It's not anywhere and everywhere. It is somewhere, and there is no somewhere for folks at all. That, and then claiming you have the right to destroy their property to punish them if they have the effrontery to stay, to go to sleep at night somewhere, hiding in the bushes, hiding under the bridges, cowering to get out of the rain. Well, it speaks for itself. And the American Civil Liberties Union not only does nothing, but the people who claim that they are homeless advocates don't raise the issue because they think, you know, it's a waste of their political capital. It'll alienate other voters. It hasn't been brought up by someone else. People have got all kinds of reasons or excuses. Some of them may be very good in terms of a different political objective. But my objective here is, of course, to focus on those civil liberties abuses. And according to what I'd heard supposedly from Steve Plaich, there had been a subcommittee set up of Bob Tarrant, Steve Plaich, and... this guy we're talking to, Lee, and they were going to work out some way to address issues, but it's been over a month and nothing has happened, and more people continue to be hurt, more people continue to be treated in ways that would normally be, you would start criminal investigations against the perps, except the people who are doing this criminal behavior are the police and their pals and the vigilante groups throughout the city that are turning them in.
The more conservative segment. But, you know, I have pointed out from my personal experience, because what they're saying is they're not getting enough complaints. I pointed out to them using a personal incident recently that regarded criminal behavior against me by another homeless person. I happen to have a really bad speed problem. I feel really sorry for them. They don't even act on criminal complaints against the homeless when they're valid and legitimate. You think they're really going to what's the point in writing a complaint against one of their own? The ACLU needs to figure out a way, and this is what I was stumping for in the presentation. They need some mechanism to take those complaints. There's no way to do it through the police department itself. It just
what, you don't like our internal affairs investigations?
I don't know anything about them. All I know is even trying to file a criminal complaint against, let's say, someone trying to steal my bicycle, the officers quickly, you know, ditch that sort of charge, and they discern the other person's drunk, and they throw them in the tank overnight for drunk, and the person's out on the street next day, not resolving the problem, partially because they want the crime to continue, because it keeps them in business. No, I don't like these people very much. I think the priorities committee at the city council that never really meets, to the best of my knowledge.
Is there a priorities committee?
There is a prioritization committee.
But Don Lane just prioritizes what he wants.
I understand there's an opening on it, but it's like taking an opening on a committee that never meets, so I'm not even going to consider it. But the point is, their prioritizations are all political. It doesn't work correctly, and it keeps the police from doing a bunch of stuff that they should really be doing instead.
Now, you didn't make it to the Red Church's candidate forum last Wednesday.
No, I don't vote. Voting for a new master every 4 years doesn't make you free.
Yeah, but if you vote for a new master, think that it could be a whole new horizon for you, Lee. A whole new leash.
In that glorious land in the sky
where
pray, live on, hey, you'll get pie in the sky. Yeah, absolutely. Now, as far as local politics go, the people that are currently in power and their predecessors from the rollover from what I call the redneck generations of the Peenies and, you know...
Former police chief Gino Peeny.
Yeah, and the people in that time period. One of the big things that's happened here is there was like... a rather rapid change from that guard to the new guard, and you didn't have too many periods of time where they weren't just completely in control of what was happening here. Personally, I think UCSC's got this little skull and bone society up there, and it's like a bunch of them saw this place and said, oh, we could roll this burg, and they did it, for better or for worse. But the point is, if you're going to make any change in it, a Steve Plaich or something, what are they going to end up doing? A single voice on a city council with his thumb up his ass as a toothless figurehead in an otherwise fascist city council. What good does that do? It's a waste of energy that could be better exerted to, let's say, pushing harder about, you know, getting that state suit going for a little oversight of policing practices towards the homeless around here.
So what about that project? You have been talking about that a bit. Any progress there? Or?
It's a project. It's a project.
I don't know. Is it a project?
Listen, I live on $200 a month in food.
I don't want to hear any excuses. You're a brilliant and articulate spokesperson.
And the good grace of the universe. I'm okay with that. Don't send me any donations, but I don't have a whole lot of time to be project-oriented, Robert. My life, my existence is resistance. It's the best I can do.
Say that again. I like it.
My existence is resistance.
And we've been talking with... that man, we'll call him Mr. L.
The NSA can go back through the tape and figure out who I am.
They probably can. Thank you very much. We're talking with
Blaze.
Go ahead, Blaze. You say there's an officer you wish to draw to our attention?
Coffee. That works the AM shifts down by the Cowles Beach area.
Okay.
Who basically feels that he is above the law.
Tell me more.
That he can threaten people and harass people, and if he sees people with objects that look like they are of an expensive nature, that he can basically...
Assume they're thieves?
Yeah, assume they're thieves, run the tags, and basically try to threaten and bully people into getting what he wants.
Now, have you had this experience personally yourself?
Yes.
When was the last time this happened to you?
Probably about 4 or 5 days ago.
And what time of day did this officer and you meet up?
About 6:30 in the morning.
And what was the nature of the contact? How did it begin?
We were underneath the pier, sleeping, and he came down there saying that he had been called, and that we were illegally camping and we couldn't be down there. So, in the process of...
How many of you were there?
It was about 5 of us.
Did he ticket you or just drive you off?
He just ran us off.
Okay.
But in the process of doing this, there were 3 bikes there, and he only ran my bike.
Perhaps he felt you needed special privileges. He wanted to show a special distinction to you.
Well, we've had problems before.
And what was an example of a prior encounter you've had with him?
Basically, we were down at Cowles, and he, in so many words, told me he didn't want to see my fucking face down there on Cowles Beach, being very unprofessional and in a very unprofessional manner. Basically said that he would do whatever it took to keep me out of there.
And what prompted this comment, in your view?
I would just say the fact that, you know, I am the type of person that if you are a member of law enforcement and you're going to speak to me with respect, then I will speak to you with respect. If you want to come fly off the handle and talk crazy to me, I'm going to come right back.
And is that what this earlier incident was about?
Yes.
And what was the nature of the disrespect he showed?
Calling me out of my name, assuming that expensive items that I had were stolen, instead of just speaking to me like a normal human being. And I just know it's not something that I'm...
Did he cite you or ticket you on either of these occasions?
No.
And have you gotten any tickets from this or any other officer in Santa Cruz in your stay here?
Yes.
Tickets for? if you wish to say.
Camping, running stoplights, things that I kind of view could...
Major crimes, in other words.
I guess in their eyes.
Mm. So, I don't know if Officer Coffey is white, a Latino, African-American, male or female. What's the story on
that? He is a white male who also told me when I asked him... Oh, when he told me, when I asked him about the receipt, he told me that I am required by law to have the receipt for my registration on my person at all times, or he can take my bike.
That's new to me.
When I asked him, when I distinctly asked him why none of the other three officers, two of which are his own comrades, SCPD, the other one being a sheriff, none of them ever mentioned any of this. His own words, and I quote, they don't work as hard as I do.
He is a hardworking individual. Now, have you filed a complaint against this individual for abusive behavior?
Because I am a little naive on how the complaint process goes.
Interesting. Well, you can always come to the Huff meeting. You know about Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. We meet every Wednesday at the Sub Rosa Cafe, which is about two blocks away from here. And we can show you how to file a complaint, and we can also, we're working on sort of civil rights activity, although, frankly, we're... Our record is limited, and Lee never shows up at our meeting, or rarely. Lee feels he'll suggest showing up at the ACLU meeting, which will be when, Lee? Yeah, that's ACLU is pretty notoriously weak in this town. Yeah, definitely you can do. You can also call my radio show where I'll be playing this tape on Thursday evening from 6 to 8. Times are on the card. But it's 10 to 12, free coffee. Sub Rosa Cafe every Wednesday, if you're interested. We've been talking with...
Blaze.
And Blaze, we should say that you are, dare I say, African-American?
Yes.
And also a Four Eyes, I might add.
Yes.
Could it be the glasses excited coffee's rage?
I don't know.
You're also not clean-shaven. Would that have been the reason that he singled you out?
Maybe, I don't know.
And you're wearing a black coat. Does that mean perhaps an anarchist disposition?
No, just... No, it was just black.
What about your gang color hat, the red heat hat?
Yeah, heat hat. That's the ticket. We have a big red heat gang in Santa Cruz.
Indeed, it's a hot situation, and we thank you for weighing in.
Yes.
Okay.
We're talking.
And before we go on, I did get a caller who pointed out that I've played this before. And, in fact, we did play this, I believe, on Sunday, might have even been last Thursday, when I actually contacted Micah Posner, or tried to find out what the situation was regarding the requirements for people with bikes. I mean, do you have to carry the receipt to proof of your purchase? And he suggested what the officer may have been asking for, and maybe he was trying to be the usual diplomat that I sometimes think is not too appropriate to be in such circumstances, but sometimes is. He suggested the officer might have been asking for a bike license rather than for a receipt of purchase, proof of purchase. But I don't have Blaze here in the studio, so I can't tell for sure. I'm going to give Steve Plaich a quick call here and see if he can let us know when the next ACLU meeting is, not because I think it's worth going to. It makes me wonder whether I should be doing this at all. But we can get a report on a couple of things from Steve. And also, this was the suggestion of some homeless people who think that's a good idea. And indeed, if 20 people showed up at an ACLU meeting... making demands, you'd hear all kinds of, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, and then, of course, they would go home and do very little, is my fear or my suggestion. But if homeless people got together to do that, they might get together to do something else, which, start a campground, do an occupation of City Hall, some other, criminal behavior of that kind. So let's see if I can get a hold of the City Council candidate, Steve Plaich, who's also an advocate for homeless people, and maybe we can do what we can do. We're putting a little ding-a-ling-ling here. There was also an Occupy meeting yesterday. That's one place people can go because Occupy activists are still working on homeless issues as well as Huff. They're planning to do a Halloween event, I believe, coming up, as well as some regular tabling after that. But it looks like Plaich may be busy doing something other than answering
his phone.
Your
call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
But he may call back. He often does.
Is not available.
We'll see. We'll leave him a quick message here.
Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey there, Candidate Plaich. This is Free Radio calling you at 427-3772. Give us a call back. We wish to grill you further on questionable behaviors of yours. Plus, I guess one person wondered when the next ACLU meeting was. And I was wondering as well. So give us a call. Thanks. It's 7 o'clock here, and we're going to be on the air for another hour. And I'm reminding people again, the phone number here is, I just said, 427-3772. Let's hear some more from the street, or actually the grass of the Calvary Episcopal Church.
Working with
Victoria.
Victoria, as a professional skateboarder, you have some concerns about our city's sidewalks. You grumbler, you.
There's a lot of bumps in them. And, like, some of the sidewalks, like, lift up, like, 2 inches. Like,
a perfect opportunity for a lawsuit. Now, you just got to get the right attorney.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to sue them. I just say fix it, you know?
Any,
you can trip over that walking, too. You don't have to be skateboarding.
Here. So, any other reports, any interactions with those officers of the law that you rely upon for your safety and health?
No, actually, I haven't seen them in the last week or so. We've been parked in a different spot and hadn't had any troubles.
So, you've been parked and sleeping illegally at night, of course.
No, never.
Well, there you are. Lying about it as well. We've been talking with
Victoria.
Thank you, Victoria. We're talking with
Wolf.
Wolf, you say you and your doggy have, should we say, acquired a police escort?
Yeah, for about 6 blocks down Pacific Avenue from Cathcart all the way down to Laurel, telling me to get my dog off the street because it's a $600 fine after dark.
Now, I don't think that's the case. I think, although I've got to review that particular ordinance, if you are soliciting funds and you're not engaging in a musical performance, you're not allowed to have your dog with you. Unless, of course, you're a merchant who's soliciting.
I wasn't even doing that. We were just walking, going to buy some Taco Bell.
I don't think it's illegal to have your dog on the avenue after dark, but I'm going to double check on that, or I'm not going to say clearly one way or the other until I double check. But it's which officers were giving you this 411?
Clark?
Officer Clark? Maybe
young man, young, like, he's got a high and tight haircut, like, military style high and tight, blondish, reddish hair. I think it's
Clark.
Well,
next time you ask for his card, say, officer, can you give me your card so I can double check your information? I mean, I certainly believe you, no question, but I want to make sure that everything is okie dokie.
Yeah, I hear that.
Well, we've been talking with that man about the hills.
Wolf.
Thank you, Wolf.
I like your shirt.
Yeah. Talking with Joel Miller, who actually almost single-handedly, but with some help from other interested religious figures and activists, put together a city council forum where you actually got 5 of the candidates to come and sort of at least appear to be listening.
Well, I think they were listening. I was very happy with it. I think that the best way to deal with the issue of injustice and compassion is to hear stories from people. So that's what we tried to do.
You had 5 people giving different tales.
Yeah.
Including Monica Martinez spinning her usual yarns. I loved it. But no, I mean, let's put that aside. So what was the most persuasive? First of all, what story did you find most impressive? And what did you think most impressed the panel?
Well, all the stories were impressive. Of course, I know Richard's story, and in a sense, that's the biggest reverse change of somebody's life.
And remind us very briefly what his story was.
Richard came to Santa Cruz as a transient, and last June graduated from UCSC and is now a PhD student in psychology at Palo Alto University.
His car is about to be repossessed and has no place to live, no doubt.
He now has a place to live.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, but and I liked what Monica said about, you know, just breathe deeply you know, set aside the arguments that you've heard and make and see if we can come up with some smart solutions. I think that's a good approach. You may not agree with me, Robert.
Oh, I like the wording. The question is, when to consider the behavior behind that. Yeah. But what about the panel? You noticed, you heard the panel respond.
Well, I think we had the
panel of candidates.
Yeah, the candidates all seemed supportive of homeless issues, and I think some were more articulate than others. Maybe one person wasn't quite sure what our values were in the faith community for the homeless, and Jake is a newcomer, and
Jake Fasari, I believe.
Jake Fasari, but he came and he said his what he believed, and I think he listened.
Where was your old friend Cynthia Matthews, who had such a close relationship with you in the past?
She sent her regrets that she had a prior commitment.
And what about that that new and highly paid, should we say, big spending candidate, Pamela Comstock?
Pamela Comstock didn't even answer the invitation.
And I guess the last one was Rochelle
Naroyan. Rochelle Naroyan.
The Democratic Party hack's choice.
Is that right?
Yes. I was not right, but unfortunately I think it's true.
I mean, is it true?
I think so.
It was very strange. I didn't see an email from her, and then she was upset that Mike Posner said that he was disappointed that people didn't come, and she felt like she shouldn't have been singled out because she sent her regrets. But I didn't see them until the day afterwards, so I apologize for
that. She regrets it. What is that? Because she was laid up in the hospital?
She had a prior commitment, and it's more than coincidental. I think that the three candidates that didn't come are wanting really to get rid of homelessness in Santa Cruz.
You mean get rid of the homeless?
Yeah.
There's a difference between getting rid of homelessness and getting rid of the homeless.
Yeah, with a bus ticket, that's what I was going to say.
Or a kick in the butt. Yeah. We got these police officers around. They're marvelous job they're doing, actually. Yeah. Quite something.
So I think it was a little bit preaching to the choir. It was a well-attended forum, but I think that the people there that were there will vote in support for creative and effective ways of addressing homelessness. And
what would those be, actually, now that you mentioned?
Well, I think some of these smart solutions that were mentioned, a recovery bay is a way to really save a lot of money for Santa Cruz.
Describe what you mean by recovery bay and how many people would serve and so forth.
I'm not sure how many it serves, but it's one of the big expenses for the county is when homeless people go to
the Dominican emergency room.
And then they stay there in intensive care a long time, and then eventually they have to leave, and they're not ready really to live back in the streets, and they have no place to recuperate. So I think they call it a recuperation bay. And I think that's a great idea. And, you know, if that frees up some money to use in other ways for services, that would be great.
Don Lane naturally jumped on that idea as mayor and said he was going to introduce it at the next city council meeting, right?
Well, I know he supports it. I don't know if he's going to do it.
I somehow missed it on the agenda. I guess maybe I didn't read closely enough.
Well, it may not be on the agenda, but it's actually
don't hold your breath on that.
It's not a city council initiative that's going to be voted on. It's already being built at the Homeless Service Center. And then the 180, you know, I think you probably know better than me. There's somebody that was called Million Dollar Bill. I think he lived in Denver. And the city came to the conclusion that it cost the city $1 million a year to keep him alive.
You know, it's all these solutions, quote unquote, are ways of appealing to people who want to keep spending lots of money on the police department but claim they have a budget crisis. And therefore, you're saying to them, hey, look, we can save money here. And
That'd be good. That would be good if it isn't redirected, if it's redirected to homeless services. But
they're not going to redirect anything.
Well, it will. It will be much more likely if we have four people that are sympathetic with the issues of homelessness on the city council in 2013 than if we have four people who want to buy bus tickets.
So have you found four people you're going to vote for?
I think so.
You wish to make your recommendations as an individual here?
As an individual, I can't do it as a...
Of course.
I would vote for Don Lane, Steve Plaich, Micah Posner, and C.C. Panero.
And there you have it, the straight Miller ticket that we've been talking with.
Father Joel Miller, Calvary Church.
Excellent. Anything you want to add about upcoming events people should know about, or anything you want to do a little preaching here on the air? I want to be discriminatory.
Well, our shelter is four nights a week, and I believe, in fact, I'm pretty assured that it will in the next couple of weeks be 5 nights a week, and we have a couple other potential candidates.
For 14 people or?
For 15 to 20 people.
15 to 20 people. That's a bit better than before.
Yeah.
Of course. Considering there's 1,500 to 2,000 people.
But what happens is we become a model, and if we had 35 churches doing this instead of 5 churches, it would make a difference.
I think I said the same thing in 1989 when we had actually about the same number of people in the churches. And it eventually expanded to about 80 people 12 years later. Don Lane can give you more details on that because he was involved in that in 2008.
Right.
But of course, it shut down. We have this exciting Monica Martinez-run homeless lack of services center with the Paul Lee Loft and so forth.
Okay, well, I'll leave you with that.
Thank you, Joel.
All right. Bye-bye.
So we're talking with...
I'm the one who's doing the talking now. I just wanted to say I did check the municipal code on dogs downtown. And the police officers are correct. I wish to correct any misimpression I may have given. Section, for those who are interested, 8.14.201, exemptions to the prohibition against dogs downtown. Actually, it's 8.14.205, dogs downtown. Section E states, dogs shall not be permitted in the downtown neighborhood between sunset and sunrise. So both dogs are not permitted downtown, and homeless people are not permitted in the parks. It's sort of like no Jews and niggers after sunset, that sort of thing. Actually, that's a little harsh. No one is allowed in the parks after dark. But since the implicit reality is that the most people who mostly use parks at night, who do so for survival, camping, or sleeping purposes, are homeless people, or sometimes a night crowd and a street crowd who want places to go that are relatively inexpensive and want to gather, publicly assemble, this impacts low income in the street community much more heavily than it does the entire community. But it is phrased as being a prohibition for the entire community. So my apologies. I'm educating myself as I go. Dogs shall not be permitted in the downtown neighborhood between sunset and sunrise. And, of course, for those who have places to take their dogs, who have houses, that's a little different than homeless people who don't. Also, of course, there's the infamous thou shalt not panhandle with a dog nearby, passed by the Coonerty section and opposed, I should say, to his credit, by Don Lane, who is running for re-election as mayor, but who didn't oppose any of the other anti-homeless laws that have come crawling and creeping down the pike in the last 4 years, such as the three sleeps and you get to go to jail for 6 months, three unattended tickets and you get to, that's what it's actually, three unattended sleeping tickets. If you don't get down there and pay those fines and deal with those tickets, you face a new charge, possible mischarge of not dealing with a citation, in which case you have to go to jail for up to 6 months and pay a $1,000 fine. And every subsequent citation you get, even if it's for something small in the next 6 months, is itself a potential fine of $1,000 and 6 months in jail. And I'm not aware of how many people have been impacted by both these laws. I was aware that one Melvin Jones was impacted by the first one, but I haven't got any records yet on the second one. Those kinds of records are hard to get. So, more from, again, we're listening to October 15th, interviews from the street.
Say it again, honey.
Honey of Santa Cruz. Okay, so since the last time we talked, which has been a little while. Okay, so dig this. Now, I was listening to the reports in the real. They got this thing on the streets where they be talking about, like, the homeless people, this and that, this and that. But they see it, and the police know they're doing real wrong. You can't walk down the street. You can't stand on the street. You can't sit in the park. You can't sit on the beach. That don't make sense. I mean, seriously, don't make sense. And we just like anybody else. Yes, like anybody else. Go to the beach. I don't just go to the beach. Yes, I'm going to take a blanket or something to sit on. I don't want the sand all in my butt. But they act like I just want sand in my butt. Don't nobody else want sand in their butt. Anyway, then... was saying how they know people have no place to go. They got this one officer. He's really nice, too. He said it's a part of his job that he don't want to do, where he have to tell people, you can't be over here, you know. But I guess somebody got to tell people you can't be somewhere. Why is that? Where is it that you can't be?
Some other city and some other country and some other era, honey. You should know that by now. Now, were you a part of the San Lorenzo campground across the river during the Occupy?
You know I was over there.
In fact, weren't you the one person who stayed in a tent while everybody else fled?
They ripped my stuff off and everything. You know they did. They took all my stuff and then they lied. This is where, okay, before that even went down, they had passed out those flyers and they said, if you have stuff over here, we're going to take it. Okay, fine and dandy. They said, we're going to hold it, though, for like 30, 60 days, whatever, right? And lied. Yes, I was like one of the last people there. And then it was people that wasn't like right in there, but they watched what happened. They came and brought like dump trucks and just picked people's stuff like it's trash. And that was so wrong. That was so...
What stuff of yours was taken?
Everything.
Tell me some of the items.
Okay, books. I like to read. They took my books. They took my mirror. They took my clothes. They took my covers. They took my pillow. They took everything I had to send me.
Any other personal keepsakes or items that you lost?
They took that before. They took my laptop, my cell phone. They took all my stuff. They took everything. Do you understand me? Everything.
Now, were you arrested?
Yeah, but then, okay, first I was, and then I wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was tricky. It was some kind of bullshit game. Yeah, okay, we're going to keep you. For what? I didn't do nothing. They said, okay, no, we're not going to keep you. So they kept me for, a few hours. And then they let me go, but they took all my stuff.
Did you try to get your stuff back?
Yeah, and they told me they didn't have nothing.
How long after did you try to get your stuff back?
Just a few hours.
And who did you talk to in order to get it back?
I talked to the officers that where I was at the jailhouse over there, and then I went to the property department.
Of the jail or the police department?
Both. I went to the jailhouse where I was at, because they give you this little property bag where you take all your stuff off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they took my stuff off my personal body. Then, like anything they say, if it don't fit in this box, then they're going to take it down the street and you go to the property department. I went over there, and then they didn't have nothing over there. I have been arrested. Oh, dig this. In July, I went to jail on the 3rd, the 8th, the 18th, and the 28th.
Of this year?
Oh, my God, yes. Just a couple months ago, mm-hmm. I went like...
What were the charges?
Nothing. This is the kicker. It wasn't none. It wasn't no charges. What they did, they arrested me because they was having a bad attitude. They had a bad day, and they don't like me.
Where were you arrested?
I was arrested at the Bonfire Beach. I got a ticket for closure, which means...
The area was closed?
That's what it means.
You said there were four different incidents?
The Bonfire Beach, Seabright. I got a ticket at 10:32. The beach closes at 10 o'clock. I got a ticket, and I got arrested. Then at Cowles Beach, I got a ticket over there, and I got arrested because he was having a bad day. You know what? He told me I was intoxicated. I told him, give me a breathalyzer. He said no.
So we have a factless interview with
C-Place for City Council. Yeah. 2000.
And unfortunately, that was the last of that interview with Honey, who is an African-American woman who was, in fact, the last person to leave the homeless campground, which once had... more than 200 people in it. It was right next to the county building in San Lorenzo Park and was destroyed by the police on December 8th of last year, with no alternatives being given to people except, move out, get out, hide out. The seizure of homeless property and its destruction is criminal behavior by our law enforcement agencies. It violates the rights of the people, obviously. It's even worse than ordinary theft by criminals in society because it's done under color of law. And it's been the basis of numerous lawsuits in other cities and recent court decisions The Levon decision in Los Angeles found that the police tactic of seizing homeless property is abandoned and destroying it when a person has gone to the bathroom and left it in the custody of someone else is unconstitutional and illegal. It's unconstitutional because it violates the, I guess it's the Fourth Amendment against search and seizure, and the Fifth Amendment, no taking of property without due process of law, and the Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment. Actually, I don't know which of those specifically in the Levon decision it ruled were in violation. But it also violates state law that says you got to hold property 60 to 90 days if you are arresting someone or even finding abandoned property. So, I have for years talked about the fact that the Santa Cruz Police Department, but more notoriously the Rangers actually, have had a policy of just blatantly and boldly destroying homeless property and quite unashamedly doing so with this kind of, this really sick notion that homeless property is valueless. But it really shows you how they regard homeless people and how Santa Cruz society, for all its liberal blather, actually regards homeless people. Most of us who are indoors and aren't homeless may, whether we know it or not, regard homeless people. It's kind of like, you know, racism. Oh, no, we're not racist. Yeah, well, that's what you think. Most of us are very racist because we don't have close relationships with people of color, and we haven't been brought up closely with them in ways when we were able to form egalitarian relationships with them. We don't. And therefore, we like to tell ourselves, oh, no, we aren't that way. But in fact, at some level, many of us are. It permeates the society, and the same thing is true regarding homeless people. Even homeless advocates, even homeless people themselves have that kind of sense that homeless people are trash at some level. Or they're, one can easily fall into that perspective. Let's hear some more.
Well, Steve Plage, the perennial candidate. Steve, you say that when you were in court, you observed a victory in a camping ban case, or you heard about it?
No, it was Sheila Reinhart's significant other. I think you talked to him last Monday, because he was here asking me about what he should be doing in terms of appearing before Commissioner Baskett on, I think it was a camping ban ticket. And I said, you know, just go in and give him an explanation. And if the police officer's not there, then I think you have a good chance of having it dismissed. And evidently, I don't know how it eventuated in court, but he told me this evening, when I saw him just a few minutes ago, that he had won his case in court. So,
yeah, I did talk to this guy a week later, about 4 days ago, actually. And it's an interesting story, and I'll be playing it, hopefully, if not today, then Sunday. But notice, unfortunately, what I'm hearing from Steve Plage is a number of things that concern me regarding homeless advocacy. Because if you are a person who's advising people around court, and you say, well, go into the court and give an explanation, and maybe if the officer isn't there, they'll listen to you. It shows, unfortunately, a real abysmal ignorance of legal process. So, for instance, if you go in and the officer doesn't show up, the charge is dismissed. It's as simple as that. You don't have to say anything. It is simply, there's no prosecution because no one is there to prosecute. And in these kinds of cases, there is no city attorney there. The district attorney doesn't take infraction cases like this generally, unless they're attached to other misdemeanors. So if you go in on a camping ticket or a jaywalking ticket or a ticket where there's no city attorney present, which is the case with the vast majority of these citations sitting on the sidewalk and so forth, even the triple fine zone problems that are going to be coming up at Halloween, where they're going to be charging three times as much for such things as an open container, huge fines, really abusive kinds of laws of that kind, you will get your charge dismissed if the cop doesn't show up. So I'm a little worried I'm going to have to draw Steve aside and slap him around a few times on this. Secondly, around camping tickets, you shouldn't have to go to court because camping citations, if you're on the waiting list, are supposed to be dismissed before you get to court. And if you're not on the waiting list, we are told by Monica Martinez, the head of the Lack of Homeless Services Center, or the Homeless Lack of Services Center, or both, that if you walk in, you can get somebody to write you a letter that the shelter was full at that time, if it was, as it mostly is, almost invariably is during the late spring, summer, and early fall. And that will be used to dismiss all charges, period. You won't have to argue for a lesser fine or anything of the kind. And even if all that fails for some strange reason, the law itself states that you shall have no more than 8 hours of community service and a fine of no more than $20, which unfortunately, with court cost additions, has become more than $150, which is enough to give me something of a stomachache. So, I'm going to have to go educate my legal pal, Steve Plaich, on these issues, and perhaps he will pass that on to the people that he really is trying to help. I know Steve is someone you can reach at 466-6078. He's taken numerous cases to court. It's just, for me, it's always important to check the fine print. Even if you get people who are trying to help you, there is a law library. It's often good to get second opinions, and I know a lot of us don't have time to do that, and we have to rely on the experts, but I guess do it if you can, is what I'm saying. Let's hear some more from Steve Plaich.
Well, maybe we can find him, and you can get a fact-filled report from him.
Or perhaps the officer just didn't show his puss.
Well, possibly. Yeah. So I'm talking with
Charlie.
And Charlie, I know we spoke about 3 or 4 weeks ago regarding an incident that happened earlier this summer when your diabetic medicine was taken.
Diabetes and high blood pressure, yeah.
And this happened on the railroad tracks up near the Homeless Lack of Services Center?
Yeah, on the tracks, yeah.
And give us again a kind of a brief description of what went down.
Well, we were just sitting reading, and the police came out, rousted us a little bit, went through our stuff. You know, smelled all your water bottles, all that kind of thing. Make sure you didn't have any alcohol.
Did they say that there had been a complaint?
No, no complaints. They were just walking the tracks.
Are you on probation or parole?
No, neither.
Did they ask your permission before rousting you, looking through your stuff?
No, they just... Well, they said, we're going to look through there, you're going to go to jail.
For what?
They didn't say.
Because we can, that sort of thing.
Basically.
We have the handcuffs.
Right.
We got guns. We'll fucking take you to jail. Right. Yeah.
At any rate, they searched through there. They took all my lancets, which is, you know, you poke yourself with to draw blood. They took my diabetes test kit, which counts my blood sugar. Took off both my diabetes prescriptions. They're both in my name. And I got ID. And it took my high blood pressure meds. Because they said they didn't know that that's actually what was in those bottles.
After they didn't have a testing kit with them. I mean, it was a very reasonable statement, of course. And what did, you know the names of these officers?
I don't remember.
And this is SCPD, deputies?
No, SCPD.
And about what time of day or night?
It was about 3, 4 in the afternoon.
And who was with you?
A guy named Grizz.
Anybody? Just the two of you?
Yeah, just the two of us. And he's since left. He rode his bike back to Portland.
Getting out of town, making a quick escape, eh?
Yeah.
So, what did you do to reclaim your medicine?
Well, I went up to the police station, and they said, you got to come on Tuesday and Thursday. If we have your property, you get it back. Mm-hmm. So I go on the Tuesday. Never heard of me. I went on Thursday, thinking maybe I hadn't got processed. I don't know. Never heard of me. So I never got it back.
And have you been able to get substitute medication?
No.
And yet here you are, hale and hearty. What am I to believe here?
Well, I'm still alive, even without the meds, but I have no idea what my blood sugar is. But I don't drink, so...
You're fondling a bottle of water, it looks like.
A bottle of water, yes. And
water can waterlog you.
It does do that.
You'd be all wet if you start drinking too much water.
It unfortunately hydrates you very much.
It does. It hydrates you. That's one of the things that the police have to look out for. Too hydrated, you never can tell.
Maybe they'll make that illegal, too.
Well, anything to make sure that you are protected and served.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to laugh about that.
We've been talking with...
Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie. Talking with...
I'm getting one.
Matt. And Matt, you say you've been gone for 12 years, and now you're back.
Yeah.
But you find it's become a little tenser, tighter, more oppressive?
Definitely.
How does this show itself? How do you notice this?
Just the police are everywhere, kind of hassling everybody for everything from smoking cigarettes to... Not the way it was when I was a kid growing up.
And how long were you in Santa Cruz before?
About 38 years.
Wow, so you're an old-timer here.
Yeah.
And have you been ticketed and hassled since you got back?
Definitely.
What kind of citations have you been given?
Smoking a cigarette. No, I mean,
where were you smoking the criminal cigarette?
Oh, I was sitting over in the park. I had no idea that you couldn't smoke a cigarette on the boardwalk or the park or the pier. Or...
What did the police tell you when you when they gave you a ticket? Did they warn you you're not allowed to smoke here?
No, they just walked up and gave me the third degree and saw someone else's pack of cigarettes and they wanted to put it on me. And I was like, shit, those aren't mine.
So you weren't actually smoking when they arrived?
I might have been.
And when you said they gave you the third degree, any more specifics? I mean, do you remember the conversation at all?
They just seem more like stormtroopers than cops, you know, instead of trying to do...
Stormtroopers?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So it's just a little oppressive. You know, growing up, the beach was open. I mean, we used to have bonfires and, you know, we drink a little alcohol, but, I mean, we never caused no problems. Now it's, you know, they just want to hassle everybody, it seems.
There have been massive sweeps this summer, and that has been the other kind of reports. I've been receiving those reports from other people, too.
Doesn't surprise me. I mean, I was kind of hoping things would ease up a little bit, but it hasn't changed since I've been gone. It just seems more intense, you know.
How old are you now?
I'll be 53 in a month.
Happy birthing day coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I was born in the old hospital up SoCal.
Community hospital?
No, this was like, I think it was a hospital / morgue back in the 50s.
Wow. I guess they're getting ready for the end at the beginning.
Yeah, something like that. But
well, we've been talking with
Matt.
Anything else, Matt?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
Thank you. So we have a criminal postal man. Actually, you were trying to take a nap on the post office steps last night?
Yes, I'm anonymous. And what
happened as you tried to catch a few winks?
Yeah, I tried to get some rest and sleep, and a man came up at 2 a.m. and told me I had to leave, and if he saw me again, he would call the police.
For heaven's sakes. Now, was this a uniformed security Gestapo guy or just a ordinary sort of snitchy type citizen?
He was looked like a postal employee, no uniforms.
Were you blocking the sidewalk?
No, I was not.
Were you threatening to seize mail and make a run for it?
No, sir, not at all.
Urinating all over the front of the building?
No, sir, not at all.
Well, you must have had something. I mean, you were snoring too loud.
No, I don't think I don't believe I snore, but I've heard that one before. Yeah. It's just, you know, up and down, being, you know, ran off and told to leave. It just messed up my
schedule
pattern. Yeah.
See, do you still have your guitar with you? At least that hasn't been stolen or lost.
This is correct. Let's I hope it stays that way.
Are you a musician downtown?
Yeah, everywhere.
Are you able to make a living doing it, or is it something you enjoy doing?
It's something I really enjoy doing, yeah.
And we've been talking with?
Anonymous.
Thank you, Anonymous.
All right, thank you.
We have two Occupy Eastas here, one of whom is avoiding any kind of discussion. The other is very loquacious. Your name?
It's Freedom, but all interviews will be held until after dinner.
After you've chowed down?
Indeed.
All right.
Indeed.
As a woman who lives without money, you need food.
Exactly, and I feel my energy draining. So.
Get in there and get some food, woman.
So is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're talking with...
Goodwin, Rodney.
And
I have 12 tickets. I haven't received one in quite a while, but they certainly do push on the homeless out here and put their foot on the back of our necks, because for God's sake, if you send that shit to collections, which they do, if you don't go up here, they send it to collections. They don't even give you the chance now to call it back. Once it's here, you can't call it back. You'll never get your license again.
Now,
somebody out here broke on her back now trying to get up to send that stuff to collections at $1,200 a ticket or whatever, and then you get...
When was the last time you got a ticket yourself?
Oh, probably a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
Here in Santa Cruz?
Since I got here July 9th, I received 14 tickets.
And what are these tickets for?
Oh, come on. It's about bullshit-ass tickets, smoking where you're not supposed to smoke. Being on levee after a certain time, even though it's still daylight. Mm-hmm. camping when it's after 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:30 in the morning, still get a camping ticket. It's redundant. All we really have to do, if we choose, is go down and calendar them all for the same date and have it wiped if we're on top of it. But we're out here trying to survive, so it kind of makes it hard, but that's how I like to get this, all this stuff expunged, and show the judge the repetitive acts from the same officers of carrying out a policy directed at the homeless that shouldn't be implemented at this time if they're after a certain core group because they're suffering from this or this or this. Look, Santa Cruz is the homeless, man. It is the hippies. It is the musicians. It is the freaks and the flower people and the flower towels and the dead. That's what Santa Cruz is about, man. I've been coming here since 1969, 1970, and it's always been like that. And I'll be damned, why would you try to stop it?
We don't want your kind around here.
That's incorrect, because although it is internationally known, Santa Cruz, as a resort, it's only one of maybe five in the United States, unless you're talking skiing and stuff, but summertime resorts, it's one of only five. And yeah, it is a resort, but that's why it's Santa Cruz. That's why they like it, man, because we're out here.
Now, you're a guitar man. I see you got your guitar with you. Any hassles for being a performer?
Sure. I got a ticket for sitting within, I don't know, they apply it however they want to apply it, man. One officer told me I could sit there, and 10 minutes later, another one came over and wrote me a ticket for sitting there, and then his partner wrote me a ticket for littering because I had my guitar pick laying on the damn ground next to me.
Interesting. When was this?
Interesting. Just those were the last two tickets I got, I guess.
And about what time, about day was this, remember?
I don't know. I got the ticket in my wallet, man. I could figure it out if I chose to, but I really don't choose to. So
okay.
I'm going to go ahead and try to clear it all up at once, and we'll see what's up. And the same problem, I had a friend. Now, take this twist. A friend of mine, on a beach, sleeping next to his stuff, crashed out drinking whatever, man, that morning, the Santa Cruz Wharf workers, city workers, right? Pick up his gear, put it in the back of the truck, right out to the crusher, crush all his shit. 20 minutes after they picked it up, 20 minutes later, he's up and down the pier asking where his stuff is. His drums, man, they crushed.
You're talking about Lito?
Yeah, they crushed his drums, for God's sake. You should have seen it. It crushed him, man. It crushed him when they threw his shit, and it crushed him.
I hear you. We've been talking with
Red.
Thank you, man. So we're talking with
Tom.
And Tom, you're here in Lyon. Are you a regular attender of the meals here?
Yeah, I come in recent months, at least. Yeah.
And you yourself also been a key terrorist in the Occupy Santa Cruz movement.
No comment.
Let's see. And
yeah, when you're doing all this research, yeah. Are you hitting a lot?
So. So, Tom, you're mostly in Santa Cruz these days, so that our police departments can actually identify your location. He's getting more and more silent, folks. Anything in the last week, or reports from the street?
I did go out to San Francisco.
The Homes Not Jails Wednesday.
No, I didn't go to that, but I did observe police beating people in San Francisco.
Where was it, and why did that happen?
It was during the anti-colonial, anti-capitalist march.
Okay. And where was that happening?
It was in San Francisco.
What district, do you remember?
I couldn't say for sure.
What time of day or night?
Probably near the Embarcadero, though.
What time of day or night?
It was probably about 3 in the afternoon, sometime
around
that.
What was the circumstance? What did you see?
I don't really want to comment on anything other than that. There was more to it than that, but I did, I did.
You observed, how many people did you see getting hit by police?
It would be hard to count. I mean, apparently there were like 20 to 22 arrested. I don't know. I mean,
they were arrested. Did you see? But you saw a number of people hit.
Putting it. I don't know. It would be hard to estimate that also, but I know for sure what I saw. I actually got shoved by a police officer.
Did you say, excuse me, to the police officer?
No, I said
You didn't say nothing, did you?
No.
My cranky. Any follow-up that? Have you heard from any of the people who were arrested as to what's going on with those arrests?
Well, I heard that they had an arraignment recently. I heard that they had an arraignment recently.
I think I heard something about it. I think what I heard of those cases is that they were dismissed, although I may be confusing them with the Homes Not Jails arrests. I think I am, in fact. I need more information, but the Homes Not Jails people who were arrested for peaceful occupation.
That occurred later on, yeah. I was at the Occupy Oakland one-year anniversary the night that happened. And I saw an entire... it was a gigantic proportion of the Oakland Police Department lined up shoulder to shoulder at about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock
in solidarity with the Occupy.
They would have just swept the whole park, lined up shoulder to shoulder, and in some places they were like five or six rows deep. It was pretty
impressive for a military man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for a military man. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Tom. Any advice for those who are planning to attend such protests? Wear your army boots, perhaps?
Think about...
blend in with the police? Have a uniform present, just in case?
I don't know. I don't even have a comment.
Have your own gang colors available?
I don't even have a comment.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Okay.
And all those interviews were from the food line of the Red Church about a week and a half ago. Tonight I'm looking online to see if there's any news about the anniversary of the police attacks on Occupy Oakland, which have resulted in a couple of officers being possibly investigated, possibly suspended, what with the threat of a receivership hanging over the Oakland Police Department. And let's take a look at the mainstream media. Actually, maybe there's some more useful information. Let's see. Fewer than 100 gather for Occupy Oakland anniversary. Here's one. Occupy Oakland one-year anniversary of raids starts quietly. A few hundred people. So it starts with fewer than 100, then there's a few hundred people. Could be a growing phenomenon, but... we'll have to see what's happening here. I have a very slow computer, so I may not be able to, maybe 9:30 before I get some action on this computer, so let me see if I can speed things up. Let's see what we got here. You can call in, by the way, if you have any questions or comments. And the phone number is 427-3772. Occupy Oakland. There is a live stream, which I'm not able to get. Let's see if actually it will be coming in here. There's I'm not too... interested in the mainstream coverage, but maybe I can get something quickly here. I'm looking online. Occupy Oakland, hundreds marching in downtown Oakland to mark the first anniversary of the raid on 10th City. Hundreds of are marching through downtown Oakland to mark the one-year anniversary of police raids that broke up an Occupy encampment in front of Oakland City Hall. And, of course, they came back. Police are out in force and keeping close tabs on the crowd, about 200 which marched from City Hall up Broadway before turning off onto Telegraph Avenue. Roads in the area are blocked until the crowd safely passes, Oakland police said in a news release. The march followed a day of rallies, speeches, and community meal in Ogawa Plaza. That's also known as Oscar Grant Plaza, in honor of the man executed by police 2.5-3 years ago, with dozens of police and private security guards watching protesters' every move. Oakland police have, through Thursday, sent out messages advising the news media and the community that violence of any kind will not be tolerated. I hope that includes police violence. The gathering has been peaceful so far, but a small group of people are wearing trench coats and dark bandanas over their faces, indicative of the so-called black bloc of protesters who have been associated with violence and vandalism in downtown Oakland. And there's quotes with some say, "We are for peace tonight." A flyer was distributed downtown urging people to bring bats to stand up and defend Oakland. The people should plan to beat the expletive out of anarchists and vandals during Thursday's events. Ah, could that be Take Back Santa Cruz up in Oakland? I don't know. No one had been arrested by 7:15 tonight. That was half an hour ago. This is a stark contrast to a year ago, when at least 200 police, many in riot gear, tore down an Occupy Oakland encampment of more than 100 tents in front of City Hall and arrested dozens of people. Again, for nothing other than possibly what they called illegal camping. That is to say, trying to break up a lawful assembly. A smaller camp near Lake Merritt was also dismantled in the early morning of October 25, 2011. That raid sparked a day of protests that continued into the early morning of October 26th, when as many as 1,000 people marched through downtown Oakland in protests that turned violent. Police fired beanbag rounds and tear gas to disperse protesters, who sometimes threw bottles and rocks at officers. One protester, Scott Thomas Olson, 24, of Daly City, was struck in the head above his right eye with a tear gas canister during a massive confrontation. That's an example of police speak. The protester was struck in the head. No, a police officer who has been identified as an Oakland police officer shot something directly at him and almost fatally wounded him. That has been acknowledged by Police Chief Jordan. So this account by the San Jose Mercury has not even caught up with the police department's official statements of the last week. Depressing. Sorry, I'm... Yes. So I don't have... I'm going to stop reading this because these kinds of statements, although it's important to parse one's way through these stories, I don't think I need to subject you to it as I do it, though. And I'm going to see if we have an actual Occupy Oakland live stream. There is a live stream. And let's see if we can learn anything from this live stream.
So check out any of them. Also, maybe Courtney Occupy, maybe live still in Oakland.
So there is actually a person speaking from Oakland.
I'm hearing from Adam that they're giving another dispersal order in Oakland possibly now.
You can kind of hear it faintly in the background. I don't have a direct plug-in to this because I'm using a separate laptop, which I'm having trouble connecting to the board here. And there are photos of people walking in Oakland. I don't know if this is today, because these are photos of people in the daytime with shadows, and I don't think we're at 8 o'clock, and I think it's dark outside, so I'm not sure what we're looking at here. But it sounds like the voice is actually a live stream commentary. I guess people who have computers should go to this if they want to check it out. I think this may be an earlier live stream, actually, so I want to suspend this particular until I can get some more clearer and more cogent information. So, I'm going to be back on Sunday with some more interviews, which I actually... slowly kind of catching up with some of this stuff that I haven't had or taken the time to play. In a way, it's all kind of depressingly similar, and yet important to put out. I'll play a little bit more. Here's some interviews from the the same place, the Red Church, 4 days ago. The other interview set that you heard was a week and 4 days ago. But here's one from last Monday, an interview or two before we close down.
So we're here at the Red Church. It's about 5:30. So we're talking with
Logan Levain.
And you have a pooch named
Chico.
And you're sampling the coffee here.
Yeah.
And your kitty is on your left shoulder.
That she is.
And what is the name of this kitty?
Fluffy for now.
Fluffy.
We're going to change it.
And you're back in town after, say, 11-year absence here from Santa Cruz?
About 11 years. Yeah. I spent the last 11 years in New Orleans, Texas, Arizona, but decided to come back home for a bit.
And were you actually raised here? Or?
No, I was actually born in Dublin, Ireland, but when I was a young kid, 8, 10 years old, I moved here.
And how long had you lived here before you left?
6 years.
And you've been back, you say, just a few days?
Yes, sir.
Any sense of how the town has changed?
A lot.
How so?
Can't take your dogs on the beach anymore. I mean, it's like society looks at us as society's rejects. So if we have a dog, if we have anything, a pack on our back, it's like they don't want us anywhere near the rest of the population.
And how has this shown itself to you in the last few days?
Kind of regret coming back.
But you haven't been specifically warned by the police?
Not yet, but give time, and we will.
And
it's the life of a street kid. I've been a street kid for better than 20 years, and it's the same place in every state.
And do you find that this is it's simply the beaches that have changed, or have you noticed anything else?
The beaches. I really don't understand why you can't smoke going down Broadway. I mean, it's supposed to be a free country. You do what you want when you want, as long as you're not hurting somebody or yourself, right?
If you will follow orders, yes.
But other than that, it's not what it used to be.
Have you been sleeping outside?
Oh, yeah.
And you haven't been ticketed or hassled?
No, because I've got a campsite up in the hills. I got my tent. I got my girl. I got my dog. That's all I need.
And
the cat.
Fluffy.
Fluffy.
And do you have any thoughts?
Not really.
Thank you both. We've been talking with
Logan Levain.
And occasionally with
Becca.
Thanks. Here with the well-known former TV star, who are we talking with?
Bob Noxious.
And Bob?
Narnar. Hey, listen, I hate the word Narnar, but in this case, I'm going to go ahead and use it. The police situation down at Cal's Beach with the homeless has become gnar.
Gnar.
Gnarly.
Gnar. Gnarlicious.
I mean, triple gnar. You see.
We'll leave gnar for the moment because we have an even more gnarly guy on the line. Hey, sign in there, gnarly.
This is Steve Plates, your free radio man on the street. Always happy to talk to my good friends at free radio.
Indeed. So, aside from the political chatter and the amiable disposition, what is the grim truths you have to unveil for us today, Steve?
Well, our governor is going to be on campus tomorrow morning at 9:30, touting his Proposition 30 tax initiative so we can pay for the school. So I'll be up there. Actually, it's billed as Jerry Brown, Sam Farr, and Steve Plate. So anyone who's interested in being on campus at 9:30 at Corey Plaza, I'll have an opportunity to chat with my many supporters.
So you're actually packing with this Democratic herd of war criminals?
Well, I'm standing apart, as you know. I don't truck with anyone in the mainstream. I'm progressive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the fringe. I'm the leading edge of progressive activism in Santa Cruz, as you well know.
And what will the leading edge do once the elections are over, assuming, I know, the highly unlikely prospect that you actually don't get elected? What's your next step in your campaign to bring truth, justice, and the Plaich way to Santa Cruz?
Actually, I was just talking to Gail about that this evening. She was looking at some office space over in the RCNV. As you know, one of my campaign pledges is to use the money that I would otherwise take as a salary as a city council member and open an office downtown so people could come in. You know, the homeless, the housed, the rich, the poor, the right, the left. It doesn't matter. Anybody can come in and talk to me anytime they want. So that's kind of my plan. That's the next phase.
Well, I know you also say we've been working on this issue of getting a lot of reports of people getting multiply ticketed for camping all over the place. And you said you've talked to the city attorney in charge of this, but he or she has given you a sort of a, well, I haven't been able to take care of it yet. And you've talked to the Homeless Lack of Services Centers, Kittredge and Chris, what's his name? Cutner?
Christopher Eden.
Thank you. Christopher Eden. And he said that nobody has asked him for either a letter saying that the shelter was full or a receipt indicating that they're on the waiting list, which would make camping tickets irrelevant.
That's what he told me. I have no reason to doubt that.
Uh-huh. Right? So you actually credit these fables that you're getting heard here.
Until I hear otherwise, and I really haven't heard even anecdotally anybody actually going up and asking for a receipt. And so until I talk to somebody at the Red Church, for instance, on Monday, or the people that we see, you know, kind of day and night in the street, you see as many homeless folks as I do,
mm-hmm.
and no one has indicated to me or related to me that they went up there to the Homeless Services Center and actually asked for a letter of receipt and were either denied a receipt or for some reason weren't able to get one. So
yeah, well, we know
until that happens, I don't have any reason to doubt.
Well, weren't you at the Huff meeting where Brent Adams said he'd done that at least twice and couldn't get a receipt? I mean, I heard him say it with my own ears. I heard the same story.
Yeah, which is how long ago?
About a month. Month ago, but it was a full 2 years after this waiting list program came on board, you know. I mean, well,
but
more
not
or less.
But not during Christopher Eden's tenure.
Oh, I see. So there's a whole new regime with Christopher Eden. Is that the idea?
Well, at that time, you know, it was Daniel White was there.
Daniel White left months ago. Daniel White left months ago. It was after that.
Well, Daniel White left.
But in any case, you know, I hope we can find out, because I know, and I've said, you know, however I've been raking you over the coals for these things, and we'll continue to do so, your heart is in the right place, and you are interested in justice in these issues. That is my belief.
Well, absolutely, and we'll continue to pursue that, you know, and all I'm saying is that I'm pursuing it through, as you know, the bureaucratic means up there, never straightforward, never easy. And, we'll just have to do the best we can.
You know, interesting question came up. Andrea called in earlier, a woman disabled with a walker. You're familiar with her.
Kicked
out of the Homeless Lack of Services Center. She apparently was able to get an interview with Don Lane, who... And she wanted him to front money for lodging because she is disabled in a motel. And she was wondering, are there emergency funds that could be used by the mayor for that kind of purpose for disabled people? Wondering, one, if you know this, and if you don't, whether you could find out. Not whether they will do it or not, but whether they could do it or not.
I'm not aware of any fund specifically designated for that purpose, but I could certainly ask... Don or anybody else, I guess, that I see along the campaign trail and see if they have any idea about that.
Now, I've heard that Isaac Collins, who's been the sole individual arrested for marijuana possession with intent to sell up at the April 20th festivities up on campus, which happens every year, the 420 mm-hmm. celebration, was arraigned in court yesterday and faces felony charges. Do you have any comment on that as a sort of a legal eagle who's been observing this kind of shit going down? He is, of course, an Occupy activist. Admittedly, he's also a poet, an African-American, apparently a dope smoker. I can't speak to that personally necessarily. But, you know, among hundreds, if not thousands, of other people out there in the field, what do you make of this arrest of this one individual up there on campus?
Well, I find it eerily coincidental. Isaac is a recognizable person from the Occupy. Isaac, because of his performance art, is certainly a notable and visible person. The fact that they had hundreds, if not thousands, of people up there for this yearly celebration of the marijuana smokeout. And he was somehow singled out for some kind of arrest and now prosecution seems puzzling to me. I haven't seen the evidence. I don't know really. You know, oftentimes the district attorney, as you well know, overcharges, wildly overcharges in some of these instances. So until we get to his next hearing, which I think is at the end of November, no one will really know his attorney, court-appointed attorney. If he has a public defender, we'll certainly know what the evidence is against him. But, you know, oftentimes, and as I say, you know this full well, these prosecutions are very much overcharged in hopes that something will stick. And perhaps that's the case with Isaac, but certainly a felony charge gets anybody's attention. No question about it.
Steve, thank you, and I question you further, but I, unfortunately, a large, burly individual has entered the studio, and I'm.
Hi, Steve.
And you can even.
And I am
it
myself thinking very much about going from the cream to the dregs.
Ah, you and somebody else too. Thank you, Steve.
All right.
Give Steve a call at 466-6078 if you want some advice on homeless legal stuff. And as I said, it's always good to try to double-check this with other people, too. But Steve does what he can, and sometimes, as a politician, he doesn't do what he should. But then again, what can you do?
It's a politician!
Hey, man. Politicians always are politicians. But still,
I mean,
he's probably...
You could put lipstick on a pig.
I can see that Steve has some fans in the studio here who are trying to... Well, in any case, that's it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides.
Thank goodness.
And I'm going to be retiring to talk to witnesses for the upcoming trial next week. I'll be giving people details on how to find the federal courthouse where two attorneys are going to be raked over the coals for their false arrest at City Council of me. So, we'll be here.
Well, I heard Mayor Don Lane on a... college radio station last night bemoaning the fact the city's paying $250,000
for
prosecuting you.
Amazing. Well, yes, unfortunately...
You can't afford it.
Well, you know, Lane has the option to bring these issues up at the closed session. Perhaps he did. I don't know. He didn't make it clear to me that he was interested in that. But, you know, it's always possible the city may settle before this happens.
I want you to settle.
Well, I agreed to settle, too. It would be nice if we could all settle. We could all settle down and relax.
I'd like you to settle in Kansas.
I'm going to settle where I choose, Uncle Dennis. In any case, I also want to mention that Free Radio Santa Cruz apparently has not yet found a new studio. Dennis is refusing to let them use his house. I don't know why that is, Dennis.
I don't have a house.
Well, that's probably one reason.
Houseless.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what they all say. That's what I say, too. You know, we all say that. Sometimes a house is not a home.
I'm looking for a home.
Yes, well, Dennis will bring some singing next hour, which could be interesting.
No, I don't tune in for that.
But, and actually, the streets of Santa Cruz for the next month are available for singing until the new law goes into effect. That was passed by the city council on Tuesday.
You can't sing?
You can sing, but you better not be unreasonably disturbing. Okay?
Does that refer to content or volume?
It isn't quite clear what it refers to, but at least only Judge Ronald White knows for sure.
And that
pretty much is it for...
Or is it just being unreasonable?
Well, that's another question. Uncle Dennis will be discussing these issues with you, and perhaps he'll be interrupting himself repeatedly, as he is interrupting me, as typical.
I'm not interrupting you, it's my show.
Oh, well, he has these details he likes to bring up, these little picky points.
Yes, it's 8:03.
You see what I mean? The man is just, he's how would you put it? Determined to take over the mic. I'm going to let this man do it. Do you want to a little musical interlude here?
I was going to put something on.
Oh, go ahead.
Why don't you just leave?
You know, he's trying to force me to leave the studio. This is hardly fair.
Go.
See you next week, folks. And
it's been fun.
Give
been
me a call
real,
at 423-4833. That's when, that's if you can find 50 cents, of course. Talk to you then at 9:30 on Sunday morning if you're listening.